Welcome back to the Ramble Room. We are here with Diane and Joseph. Sarah has to go work because somebody around here has to pay the bills. We are joined again with Mark Jones. Mark, it's great to have you back.
Thank you, Ken. Glad to be here.
Mark is the regional director for Gun Owners of America. You have, what, 9 states in your region?
10 states.
10 states.
Counting Wyoming.
Did it just get bigger, or did I remember wrong?
It was 10 last time I was here.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, it was 13 a while back, but
maybe I'm just trying to keep it whittling.
Well, you're just getting old, forgetting stuff.
Huh?
You're just getting old, forgetting stuff.
Huh? We're here to talk about gun stuff because we like guns.
Amen.
We like the people that carry them. So we'll begin. Mark, just tell us a little bit about what your job entails, a little bit about Gun Owners of America, and the case with the 18... Attorneys General, if you begin there.
All right. Be glad to, Ken. Well, Gun Owners of America is a national organization. We have about 2 million members and supporters. We were started in 1976, and we take a very targeted approach to defending the Second Amendment. We sue the federal government a lot, particularly when we have an administration like the Biden administration that doesn't respect the Constitution. We're also very active in Congress and in the legislatures. My specific job is I'm the regional director for the Rocky Mountains and the Great Plains. So I've got 10 states, including Wyoming. I live in Johnson County, Wyoming. And, you know, my job is to be active with the legislatures of these states and with our federal officials, of course, that go to Washington. And you asked specifically about the lawsuit that we're involved in with the Biden administration over bump stocks. We sued over that in federal court and won in the initial round. And for people out there that don't have bump stocks or don't know what they are, it really doesn't matter, because what's really important is that Biden's trying to do through executive action what he can't do through Congress. Ask yourself why he won't bring these types of regulations in front of Congress. They don't want to have to vote on these going into an election year next year. So he's trying to do unconstitutional actions through executive order. Well, we sued and won in round one. And the good news, and then I'll let you comment, Ken, is that 18 attorney generals joined our, after we won round one, they filed an amicus brief in support of our lawsuit. So 18 of the nation's 50 AGs stepped up and joined us.
Including Wyoming's.
That was great to hear.
She should be the first one in line, but unfortunately that's not quite how it works. So
yeah.
Sometime we should talk about, instead of having the governor appoint an attorney general, it needs to be an elected office.
Yeah, we hear that a lot, but we were glad that in this case the Wyoming AG did the right thing. It's good.
So thank you, ma'am. It's about time. There is a expression about the camel's nose in the tent, and I think that's why this is an important issue to me. I wouldn't give you a wooden nickel for a bump stock. Spent 10 years in the military. I've fired about every kind of weapon that you can think of under all kinds of conditions, and in my humble opinion, bump stocks are stupid. But
it doesn't improve accuracy.
No.
No.
Not at all. But if we say, okay, we're going to concede this, there's that camel's nose in the tent. If we can concede this, we can concede that. And now you've started the entire thing. So,
well, you said that it didn't matter whether I understood what that was or not, but it kind of does to me in order to understand why we're talking about it in the first place, because I want to know why they're going for that.
All it is a device you put on the... you attach to the lower of your AR-15. It allows the recoil of the gun to help the gun fire a little bit faster than you can fire it if you pull the trigger each time, like is normal with a semi-automatic. So it speeds it up a little bit. I mean, it does speed up the rate of fire a little bit. It's not fully automatic, but it does speed up rate of fire.
But that's the justification. They don't want you to be able to shoot any faster.
They want to regulate it as a machine gun under the National Firearms Act. It's okay. Essentially what they want to do. And as Ken just said, what's important is that if they can do this without going through Congress, then what else can they do? You know, they can pretty much do anything they want to, including start taking away your semi-automatic rifles. your Ruger 22s and your, you know, everything else, because they can decide all of a sudden to regulate it despite any legal action, actual law or anything.
Right. I absolutely understand the problem with it, but not knowing what bump stock doesn't bring any picture to my mind. So, okay, what's the problem there?
They would also have to, I guess, eliminate any trousers that have belt loops. Because if anybody's ever experimented with a semi-automatic rifle, and you hook your thumb in your belt loop and put a little bit of pressure in it, you can do the same thing.
Excellent point. Yeah, and I don't have one either. I'm like you. As you pointed out, that they don't help accuracy.
Right.
They're just kind of a fun thing to play around
with.
But thanks for ruining everybody's belt loops.
Yeah. They just turn cash into noise is about all they do.
Yeah, exactly. Well,
and if you were going into a situation where you were trying to commit mass casualties like everybody is saying, you would not want a bump stock.
No.
You'd hit one person out of 30.
That was evidenced by the guy, what was it, in Texas? Shooting into the nightclub. I can't remember the exact location of the thing, but that was one of the deals that brought this to the forefront, was he had a bump stock in his. He shot indiscriminately into a crowd, and I don't remember the number of rounds that he fired versus the number of hits that he got, but it was pretty dismal. I could sit up there with my Ruger number one single and got more strikes than that in the period of time that he had.
Not that that would be a good thing.
No. But the bump stocks were not a problem. And nobody that was a serious shooter that I know had a bump stock. But maybe they had one, but it was put away.
Of course, now they're all scrambling to get them just for the novelty.
Right, right. Yeah, exactly. And I still don't care about them, but it's still under 2-way protection.
Right.
And you don't go messing around with the 2-way.
So they go for things like that so that people who don't know what it is will be scared.
Right. It sounds scary. Bump stock.
Right.
You know?
Like assault rifle.
Doesn't sound to me like bumper cars. it sounds less serious to me. That's why I wanted you to explain this, because it's like, whatever.
I hear you.
Am I supposed to be scared?
You're supposed to be scared because it turns this this weapon into a machine gun that is very dangerous. That's the message from the left, which is,
I'm terrified.
Already heard, it's not really the case, but...
You got me. I'm terrified.
If they can do this, they can do anything.
Yeah. That idea of shall not be infringed should mean exactly what it means, and that's an infringement. It's a trespass, as we've said many times in the Ramble Room, against the God-given right to self-defense.
And I think when 18 attorneys general joined us, that shows the legitimacy of what we're talking about here.
Right.
You know, I mean, because that's... Let's face it. Attorneys generals don't like to get involved in controversial things if they don't have really good reason and can't win.
Right.
So I think it shows we had a pretty powerful argument.
That argument is only one that's out there. There's another that has been brought up, and so far it hasn't actually turned into a lawsuit. But rather than go through Congress and make a law, which you can't do, the administration has been going to the ATFE and said, we want you to change the rules. We're going to regulate these things. And one of the things they want to regulate is what they call them ghost guns. You can order off the internet an unfinished receiver to build your own AR. You have to have templates and drill and know what you're doing and put it together. But some of the major machine work has already been done on these things, and they come without a serial number because they're just a part.
Right. It's not a gun.
It's not a gun. But they're trying to determine that it is a gun and therefore regulate it that way. So there are 20 attorneys general from various states who have gone out and filed comments to the ATFE and said, we don't have a right to do this. So if you take the people that are involved in the Gun Owners of America's lawsuit, those attorneys general, and some of them overlap, there are 25 state attorneys generals who are somewhat active in some way at pushing back. So we consider that a good thing. At the same time, there are 17 state attorneys general plus the attorney general from Washington, D.C., who are on the other side, who are encouraging the BATFE to go ahead and impose these regulations and more. There are a number of ways that they're attacking. So if the BATFE is able to rewrite regulations and infringe upon our Second Amendment rights. There's another concept that states could stand up with what we call SAPA, the Second Amendment Preservation Act. And Mark, I would like you to tell me what the Gun Owners of America stance is on that and what's happening there. Why is that important?
Okay, Ken, you know, that is a very important concept, and we have been pushing that concept across the country. And more specifically to Wyoming, I've been working for the last 3 months or so trying to build support for that again in the Wyoming legislature. And I know you're aware of some of the behind-the-scenes talk, and I think we are building support in both the House and the Senate to take another run at a Second Amendment Preservation Act. The bill will probably be introduced in February. You know, it's been tried here twice. It's failed twice. But I think we have a really good shot this time of getting it through. I've been in conversation with law enforcement members. Can't really name any names yet, but I've definitely members of both of Wyoming houses, and even some members of Wyoming gun owners. I think we can cooperate. I feel confident that they will cooperate with Gun Owners of America and all the other players to get this thing done in Wyoming this time. And I'm hoping that Wyoming will end up with the nation's strongest Second Amendment Preservation Act. Some states have passed act without any teeth. They're little more than resolutions that say we like the Second Amendment, but we need something with a little bit of teeth to it that's reasonable, that everybody can live with. And I think that's the sticking point, and I think we can get there this time.
I would have to say, having been a witness to this firsthand, and again, we can't go into the details about who we're talking to or the issues or how it's detailed, but Mark has been active. He's been aggressive in going out and talking to these people, working, not so much trying to twist their arms or force an issue, but say, this is something we all agree needs to be done. How do we get past the issues we've had in the past, and how do we make this happen? Mm-hmm. And I commend you for that. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Can you give us some insight as to why this has already failed twice in the state of Wyoming?
Oh, my goodness. You know, that would probably be a better question for Ken. And I'm not trying to dodge your question, but I don't want to dig up old wounds. I know there was some things that happened and people were upset. What I've been trying to do is unite everybody and trying to put aside what happened in the past and figure out a way to get it done this time. And I will say that I've been in most of the major communities in the northern half of Wyoming. I haven't been in the southern part as much yet, but I've been in Casper, Cody, of course, Sheridan, Buffalo, the Northeast, trying to unite everybody to get it done this time. And, you know, we're willing to work with anybody, Wyoming gun owners, the NRA, anybody in the House or Senate. You know, doesn't matter who gets the credit. Let's set our egos aside and let's pass it. Let's pass the nation's best bill.
I agree with that.
Yeah. Let's good answer. Wyoming, for once, set the standard, be a leader, show the way.
Amen. We should have the, you know, arguably we're the most conservative state in the nation if you look at the Trump vote last fall. We should be a leader on these issues.
We certainly have more guns than anybody else per capita.
Per capita, absolutely.
I wanted to ask a question just in case people are only hearing this show and don't know what the Second Amendment Preservation Act is for, because, you know, I'm thinking, okay, we have a Second Amendment and it's pretty explicit. Why do we need something else?
Yeah, that's a great question. And, you know, a lot of people bring that up, especially constitutionalists. Why do we need to pass another law to protect the Constitution? And the short answer is, well, we have a lot of politicians that don't respect the Constitution. They don't respect their oath to protect and defend it. And sometimes they will respect a state law that has some penalty to it. And what this law could take a lot of different forms, but hopefully it will have some provision in it that says Wyoming will not allow unconstitutional federal actions by federal authorities. And then there will be some penalty for that, whether it's a civil process. You know, I think it may be a little early since we haven't united all the players in the House and Senate, but there needs to be some penalty to a law enforcement official who violates a person's constitutional rights.
Local law enforcement officials.
Yes.
Enforcing federal overreach.
Yes, exactly. Okay. That's where we need to, and why to your, you know, and again, to try to answer your question, why do we need it? If you have a deputy, and I believe most law enforcement officers are great people. They're just trying to do their job. But they are under incredible pressure sometimes to do something from higher authorities. And you could see this happening in America, especially what's been going on, where they're under pressure to go get Ken's semi-automatic weapons because Biden has said they're illegal all of a sudden. And that deputy's between a rock and a hard place. I mean, they shouldn't do it. It's unconstitutional. This law will help that deputy with any pressure from above, from maybe his sheriff or other places. You know, maybe it'll help the sheriffs say, hey, wait, we're not going to, you know, they should do it. I would argue philosophically a sheriff should resist it anyway, right?
Right.
Because they take an oath to protect and defend the Constitution. Yeah. This helps that sheriff.
They are the highest authority in a county.
They are.
They actually have the right, if it came down to it, and it has been done in Wyoming. It was done in Bighorn County probably 25 years ago. The Bighorn County sheriff threw the Bureau of Land Management office completely out of the county because of some trespassing violations and some other issues that had gone on. We need sheriffs with some backbone.
I agree with you, Ken.
And we have some good men out there who are sheriffs, and I really believe that if we just had one or two that were a little more aggressive and began to show the way, that many of them would go ahead and go the rest of the way. It's like that first person that wants to take that first step forward and be the one to take all the fire. That's hard to find.
But also just to educate the public as far as what the sheriff, that's true. That he, when you're electing a sheriff, that it matters that you understand what he's supposed to do. And so that matters when it comes to picking which one you want to vote for.
He's the most important person in any county.
I've said the same thing, Ken. The most important elected official in America right now is a sheriff because of their constitutional authority and their ability to protect their citizens' rights at the county level. And a good sheriff, constitutional sheriff, should do that. Maybe this law helps more of them get there and be that kind of sheriff.
Well, it's an incentive. I mean, if you go against the Constitution, you'd be punished for it.
Right.
So it's an incentive to go, okay, I'm not going to do that.
Exactly.
It's building a brick wall behind your pretty piece of paper.
Yeah, and it gives them cover. Let's be honest. That's a tough. It would be a tough position to be in as a sheriff.
Absolutely.
And the federal government saying you will do this. And you say, well, the state law says I don't have to. Plus, I took an oath to the Constitution. Get out of my county.
That would be a hard thing to do, but it has to be done.
It has to be done. Yep. Unfortunately, that's where we are in America today.
Certainly is. Where will we be tomorrow?
Oh Lord! Tell you what, it gets crazier and crazier all the time. Keep hoping. There's a turning point which we start moving back toward our constitutional roots and our traditional American values.
Well, once something like this has momentum, it's really hard to slow it down. It just keeps building and building on itself. And I don't see it getting better before it gets worse. I think that chances are coming up where we're looking at seriously defending our Second Amendment rights in a confiscation-type scenario, maybe 10 years out. But still,
maybe two.
It's starting to get a little scary.
Yeah, it is.
And not to mention, you know, with ammunition shortages and stuff like that. When are they going to start taxing us? Knee deep for ammunition and everything else.
Or just banning. They already tried to do it. We're going to ban lead around water,
right?
Because it's a dangerous thing, you know. So now you drive the cost up. There's a interesting thing, and I don't want to change the subject and swerve into the Afghanistan issue, but you know what one of the very first things the Taliban did as soon as they took control, and I'm talking the very first day, is they went out and said, we're in charge now.
Right.
You're all safe.
Give us your guns.
Give us your guns.
Yeah. Where have we heard that?
Yeah. Yeah. You don't need... What was it? Famously, Cuomo said, you don't need 15 rounds to shoot a deer.
Is that Cuomo?
I think it was Cuomo.
I think it was Cuomo. No.
I probably do.
Depends on how good of a shot you are.
I'm not. Yeah. Is the deer going to be moving?
Well, if he's moving, don't shoot.
Well, as you all know, our founders didn't write the Second Amendment because they were afraid of the deer.
No. No, well, they did not.
But there would still be the question of, okay, so if I'm safe, then why do you need my gun?
Exactly.
I feel safer if I keep it myself.
What blows my mind is that people nowadays, they go, well, that was then, this is now, we're a more civilized people.
Right.
When? Where? Oh, where are we more civilized?
Show me.
And this is after we just had visitors here from Colorado Springs who were just talking about how that city that was such a nice place when we lived there is just going to pot because of people coming. Well, because
it's
of
going
pot.
To pot. It's because we're more civilized.
But how much more they feel the need to be armed than we ever considered when we moved down there in 86 was a big town, but a nice big town. And
not so much now.
No. And they don't go anywhere unarmed.
Mark, you said that you had been to most of the northern towns in Wyoming, but you hadn't been to the southern towns. You sound like you've been the south.
I'm sure people out there pick up on my accent every time I open my mouth. Born and raised in the south and spent most of my life there. But as I tell folks, I've been coming to Wyoming hunting and fishing for 33 years, and so I wasn't born here, but I got here as quick as I could. My wife and I live in Johnson County with our children, and so we chose to come to Wyoming and make our, I intend to be here the rest of my life. I think the Northern Rockies and the Northern Plains are the last best place in the country. And not to get too philosophical, but if this country's got any hope, I think it's going to be federalism and states' rights and places like Wyoming and South Dakota and Montana. So hopefully this part of the country can show the rest of the country, how we survive what's going on, this onslaught of socialism.
Your website, gunowners.org, people can go there to find information on this lawsuit and many other things, I'm sure. Maybe give us two or three other things that are happening in the world of Gun Owners of America.
Sure. Well, you mentioned the ghost guns, which are just simply homemade firearms. That's another scary term the left gives.
When the Second Amendment was written, how many of the firearms that were out there were
had
homemade
serial numbers?
They were probably, most of them were homemade. But we are involved in that, fighting the ATF to stop them from regulating that for the same reason, bump stocks. I like to break things down kind of in two categories. There's kind of offensive and defensive ways of working on the Second Amendment and proactive or reactive, I guess. And some of the proactive things we've been heavily involved in would be like national concealed carry reciprocity. Obviously, that's not going anywhere right now because of the composition of the government in Washington. And most of you probably, if you don't, for your listeners, that maybe don't understand that. If you live in Wyoming, it's a constitutional carry state. You can carry a firearm. But, if you want to travel, you probably need to get a concealed carry permit from the state of Wyoming that will be recognized by other states. And currently, I think 35 states recognize Wyoming's permit. You're pretty good in the heartland in the south. When you go, you can't go to the West Coast. You got to be really careful in the Northeast. You're okay in New Hampshire and Maine if you can make it there.
You drive around Illinois. Don't go anywhere near Illinois. Well, that's the black hole.
You're right. Illinois and Minnesota do not recognize
Wyoming.
Isn't
that weird? Because look at all the sportsmen in Minnesota.
Exactly. Yeah. So anyway, if you travel, if you have family, and a lot of, most people in Wyoming weren't born here. Let's face it. Probably at least half the state. They traveled other places to see family. And if you go back, let's say you're from Virginia, where I was born and raised, haven't lived there in many years, but that's where I was born, I've got to go through Illinois to get there unless I go way out of my way. Well, I cannot legally have my firearm accessible when I go through the state of Illinois. I have to unload it, case it, lock it, and put it where I can't reach it. And I can't stop there for the night legally. Can't stay in a hotel.
I didn't know that.
No. There's a federal law that if you're legal where you start and legal where you're going, you can pretty much carry any weapon through any jurisdiction. It has to be unloaded, cased, and inaccessible. But you can't stop for the night. You can stop for food and gas. So anyway, national concealed carry reciprocity would allow us, much like our driver's licenses, allow us to drive in all 50 states.
There's another consideration for somebody like this guy that I know, that up until the boating accident, you generally had six or eight weapons in the vehicle. Who needs six or eight weapons in the vehicle? Well, they're like tools. You have the right tool for the right job. Plus, a lot of us enjoy them. But
what are you scared of?
Absolutely nothing. I remember taking a trip to Michigan, wasn't it?
Minnesota,
yeah. Trip to Minnesota. So I'm kind of checking the rules. And, okay, I got to get all the guns out of the vehicle. Wait a minute. Where are they all? And there are a lot of things that if you do this all the time, if you carry all the time, there's always a weapon in the vehicle. There's always one of that. You don't think about it. You jump in it to go somewhere else, you know, especially if you happen to live near a state line. Mm-hmm. You could have the best intentions of the world. You completely law-abiding and make a silly mistake. And
you're a criminal
forever. You're a felon. You can't vote, et cetera, et cetera. Mm-hmm. So that reciprocity law is, in my mind, it's critical.
Yeah, and it's happened. There have been plenty of cases of people crossing from one state that was pro-Second Amendment into another. They live nearby, they work or whatever, they get in the wrong spot, they go to a traffic stop, they've done nothing wrong, the officer finds out they have a weapon, they're a felon. That happens a lot.
And then you can't have any guns, right?
Well, and I think that's kind of the way that's set up, is so that it's confusing for the gun owner. Mm-hmm. And so it's just easy to, once you become a felon, they take your gun anyway.
Right.
The only gun law that we need says shall not be infringed.
No. So any gun law is illegal, unconstitutional.
And then there's thou shalt not kill. That would cover everything, those two things.
That's sticks and stones, too. So.
Right. But, I mean, that covers everything.
Yeah. It pretty much does.
We've covered almost everything. Is there anything we've missed?
Well, you know, you'd ask about some other activities we're involved in. Of course, as I said, with concealed carry reciprocity, it would be nice to be proactive and pass good Second Amendment legislation. And that's, we had a chance to try to do some of that under the Trump administration. Right now we're on defense, obviously. Everything we've talked about today pretty much has been defensive, either suing an out of control federal administration, trying to stop them from taking more rights. I should probably mention the ATF nominee before we close today. Oh, my goodness. I know you're probably not a big fan, Ken. But David Chipman, and you guys know a lot about him, I'm sure, throw your two cents in here. But, you know, he's a registered gun control activist, which – and it, to me, it's kind of odd. It's unprecedented for a president to nominate someone for a position like this that's that biased. We all know we have biases. We all have biases. But presidents usually try to nominate someone who's fairly neutral on an issue to...
Or at least pretends to be
neutral.
This guy doesn't
even
do that.
Right. He doesn't even pretend. He's a gun control activist.
Well, it's not really all that surprising considering Biden said Beto O'Rourke was going to head up his anti-gun...
Right.
Task force.
He was going to take your AR-15. Beto was going to come get it.
Yeah, he's going to come to my house. Come on over, buddy.
but it is scary. And Chipman, it shows you how bad he is. He hasn't been confirmed yet because there are a number of Democrat senators that haven't given him the green light. Now, it doesn't mean we're out of the woods, but we're working every day to try to keep those senators in line. Tester from Montana's key. If we got any listeners in Montana, call Tester, tell him to hold the line. You know, Manchin in West Virginia, there are Susan Collins in Maine. There's some others that are really key to keeping him from being nominated.
And don't assume your guy is safe.
No.
You know, even here in Wyoming, we have what most people would consider a fairly conservative contingency. But look at Liz Cheney.
Amen.
She is blaming Afghanistan on Trump. Now, we arguably there could be some culpability because he did make a deal with them, which, for example, I never would have done. But if you look at how this thing should have been executed versus how it was executed, all of the responsibility lays on one pair of shoulders. The buck stops there. You hadn't heard that, had you?
Joe Biden. He becomes president. He could have stopped all of that. Donald Trump set some stuff up that I didn't agree with. Still don't, and I'm not going to. But Joe Biden came in. He could have said, no. We're not going to do that. We're not going to do it that way. We're going to stay in a little bit longer. We're going to make sure that everything's okay.
He kind of did that, but the opposite.
Right. He said, I'll jerk it out of there.
Yeah. Well, you know what? And well, you guys know a lot more about Afghanistan than I do probably. But one thing I found appalling is that Biden left behind billions of dollars in American weapons, which you can't tell me that the military couldn't have figured out a way to get those out or destroy them had he given the military leaders that opportunity. He didn't give it to them. You know, it's his fault. And at the same time, he did that. He wants your 9mm, Ken.
Well, that was 4 or 5 days ago.
And he wants your AR-15, you know, the same one Beto is going to come get. He wants it. So
we'll give it to the Taliban, but I want yours.
I want your small arms, but we're going to arm these guys like.
Well, we gave them an Air Force.
I know, yes.
They have an Air Force.
And the truth of the matter is, I firmly believe that the leftists in Washington, D.C. and elsewhere do consider people like us a bigger threat.
They do. Well, have you seen the recent information from Homeland Security about what to watch out for 9/11? One of the top three was Christian conservatives that support Trump and think he might have been cheated out of the election.
Ooh.
So if you have an opinion.
I'm on a list then.
Yeah, we all probably are.
And didn't that also include people who were resisting vaccines?
Yeah.
I'm not 100% sure, but it was.
I think that was in it. That we're some of the people who are likely to be violent.
So liberals who claim to be all about free thought and everybody having their own opinions, that only works if you agree
with
them.
My body, my choice.
It only works if you agree with them, though.
Yes.
If you have those opinions and they're contrary to conventional, groupthink, then all of a sudden you're an enemy of the state.
You have to be shut up, and you see the feds... going after the idea of we're going to be the fact checkers, we're going to be the truth detectors. Anything that doesn't match truth, well, in the immortal words of Pontius Pilate.
Oh.
In the immortal words of Pontius Pilate, what is truth?
Yeah. Whatever I want it to be.
Well, and it's like the redheaded Chucky doll. What's her name? What is her name always?
Nancy Pelosi?
No.
No. You're on another list now, Ken.
He's on all the lists already.
Jen Psaki.
Oh, yeah.
Jen Psaki. You really lost me there for a minute.
I'm sorry.
She'll circle back.
She let it slip. She goes, we are working with Facebook to get all of this stuff. It's being ran through their administration and fact-checked by the government. The government is now telling us what to think.
Right.
And people on the left go, oh, yeah, that's fine.
That's cool.
I'm good with that. I like being told what to think.
Yeah, yeah.
And I don't have to think for myself.
Well, I like you being told what to think.
Exactly. Exactly.
You don't like when you're told what to think.
No, but I want somebody to tell him to think like I do.
Oh. Or shut up. Or go to jail.
Yeah. That's how we became Nazis so quickly.
I didn't.
every day I get the Nazi bit, and it's like, do you know what a Nazi is? Because you're getting all your information from the government. They're only giving you what
you hang with the wrong people, man.
That's why Facebook hates him.
Yeah, that's why they keep kicking me off, because I'm a Nazi.
Any last words?
I'm not a Nazi, by the way.
Well,
thanks for clearing that up.
Well, I think that. In closing, I guess all you got to do is turn on the news right now to see that we're in trouble as a country. And I would encourage people to get involved politically. Get involved, go to meetings, get involved with your members of the Wyoming House and the Wyoming Senate, with your sheriff. We have got to fight these battles at the local level, county and state level, and survive to the next national election and hopefully do better, maybe take back one of the houses. So get involved. If you're sitting on the couch and you're throwing things at the TV, get involved. And that's what we've been trying to do here with some of the Second Amendment issues is rally groups from diverse places in Wyoming and people like you guys here and different people in the House and Senate to pass a good law related to Second Amendment preservation. But it's going to be battle after battle after battle. So get off the couch and get involved.
Absolutely. Go to gunowners.org. Find how you can help. click the donate button, click the membership buttons, whatever buttons are there, click them.
Yeah. Hey, and we'll come speak.
Put your money where your mouth is.
You can contact me, mark.jones@gunowners.org. You send me an email. If you'll put together a group in your town in Wyoming, I'll come speak. We'll talk about Second Amendment. I've been doing that, two or three times a week. I was in Cody a couple days ago. Was Sheridan last Tuesday. Happy to come speak to groups, and we all need to unite and fight to save our country.
Amen. Thank you for being here, Mark.
Well, thank you for having me, Ken, and appreciate everybody else seeing everybody. Hope to come back and talk soon, and maybe we'll have some positive news some point in the future.
Oh, we could use it.
Yeah, we could.